This morning I'm going to speak to the words that Jesus speaks, and he says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Today's message is called Experiencing His Power. There are just some things you've got to experience for yourself. I look at the selfies I take and the photos. I hear the stories of what? Have you never seen me take a selfie? All right. You listen to people's stories of where they've been and what's going on, and it all doesn't really match up to actually just being there. The experiences, you look at it and you go, you know what, I wish I could explain how good that really was, or how life-transforming that really was. The experiences are what changes us, what shapes us. I mean, I remember when I was first in ministry, we did a missions trip into the most isolated part of Papua New Guinea. There was no roads there. We had to walk through the jungle to get there. We met a group of people that were so still ancient in their concepts, they still had real shrunken heads on their huts. It was only 30 years before that they were actually eating one another. And so when they said, would you like to stay for lunch? We did ask what was on the menu. It was a life-changing experience to come into a group of people that were so different to what I'd ever seen before. Then another trip up that way into the Solomon Islands, we're doing crusades and revival meetings in there, and I went to a place where there were old army tanks and broken trucks and from the war in the Second World War, and the eeriness of the feeling of being in a place where a major battle had taken place. And as I looked, I saw a bit of glass sticking out of the ground, and so I went over and dug it out. It was actually a 1944 green Coke bottle. So at some stage, some soldier got thirsty, opened up a Coke, and sat down under that tree. I still have that bottle in my office, 1944. I remember the times I was in Vanuatu doing crusades over there, and I came across a beach 500 meters long, and the whole beach was covered in broken glass. It had been there since World War II. The glass had been smoothed by the sand and by the ocean lapping on it. And no longer would it cut you as you walked on it, though it still wasn't that comfortable, but it was broken bottles. And what had happened in World War II, a US supply ship had hit one of its own mines and blown up and sunk just at the front there. And all the thousands and thousands of bottles of Coca-Cola, beer, milk, and soft drink floated in and broke on the beach. I remember watching the sun glimmer on this. I've never seen anything like it. What can I say? You just got to be there. You just got to be there. You got to experience it, being chased in our last safari by a herd of elephants. How exciting was that? They were so angry at us, weren't they? A whole herd chased us down the road. And you just got to experience. It's the power of real experiences that shape us and change us. And often you don't remember the things that have happened to you, but I want to tell you, if they've had an experience, it's shaped you and it's helped change you. I remember the first time I saw a person with no life in their body, a dead person, and I remember how amazed I was at the concept of life and death. It so shook me and so brought my scope of mortality into a place. The first time I smelled burning human flesh in a primitive Hindu cremation in Kathmandu, as I watched these bodies being burned, and I watched them tipping them into the river as they finished burning them, and I watched the little kids, they were diving into the water, walking into the water, and as the dead body would come past, they would pick the gold teeth out of it, or they would look into their, see if they could find gold coins next to them. I remember how that shaped my picture of heaven and earth. It was the experience of being there and smelling what was going on. I remember the first time I laid eyes on my now wife across the dance floor. I remember looking at her and thinking, man, have I got a chance here? You know, I remember when I picked up my firstborn just after she was born. how it shook my concept that a person could live inside another human being. It was like, my wife's just a host. And then there's this human being. It wasn't just a thing in her stomach, it was a person. And how it shook me. I stood there for half an hour. I can't remember. I couldn't say a word. I was so moved. The day I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. For a person who grew up with no church background to actually get to a point and say, you know what? I actually believe this. What it did in my life, it wasn't just a knowledge thing. Something happened. There was an experience that changed me. And within a few minutes of that, they were having me receive the Holy Spirit. And because I knew nothing, I said, well, whatever you want to do, just do it. And within moments, here I am filled with the Holy Spirit. It changed everything about my world. Experience makes it undeniable and powerful. When Jesus died and he rose again from the dead, the world couldn't deny it. The tomb was empty. That moment changed human history. The world would never be the same again. Nothing upsets a graveyard more than a good resurrection. And nothing upsets the spirit world more than the Savior of mankind coming back from the dead. When we experience God, the most amazing things take place. And I'm not just talking about feelings, though. There can be feelings of old. It's in a place where this contact is made. Christianity is not about following certain religious traditions, it's about being alive in God. It's not a religion that we follow the teachings of only. We come to a place where we find that he is not a dead God, but he is a risen God. And we are not just listening to rhetoric, but we're actually experiencing his power because he's alive today. We are to be alive in God, not just knowing the things of God, but to be alive in him. The Bible actually calls us living stones, not dead rocks. Living stone. And the living implies, number one, is that we found life in God, and stones represents that we're to be connected together for a reason. And this is stated in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, Jesus was rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, talking to us, as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, God is building his place of residence on the earth today, his temple. But it's not out of bricks, mortar, or steel. It's in the hearts of humans. Isn't it funny that God is over all things, and the only thing big enough to house the presence of God is not a building, but it's a human heart. It's a human heart. The only place that can, it wasn't the Ark of the Covenant. It wasn't the holy tent. It wasn't the temple in Jerusalem. It was a place where God was in his people. The people may dwell, a people that he may dwell in. Being a Christian, listen to this. Being a Christian is deciding to be a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. Being a Christian is deciding, not just do I know about the things of God, but now I'm allowing the Spirit of God to abide in me. Just as I considered it a miracle that a human being could live inside another human being, their mother, and draw food off of them, then the miracle to me is the Spirit of God now lives within me, not feeding off me, but feeding me. That we're alive in God. There's something significant when we understand this encounter with God is more than words, it's an experience. A people that he may dwell in. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22 describes it like this. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted, not that building, this building is being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The church's purpose here is to house the presence of God. It's to house the Spirit of God in us. A significant change has got to happen. And this happens not because we know about Jesus, it's because we've met Jesus. There's been an encounter. a people in which God dwells, not the ark, not the holy temple, but a people alive in God. Living stones implies you're alive, all right? We're alive. Something's happened. Something's been sparked on. The word born again. Oh, how can a person be born again? Can a man enter his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus says, no, no, no. What he's saying is that you're born of the flesh. Now you're born of the spirit. Your spirit becomes alive to God. That's the encounter of salvation. Then we're fitted together. We are stones, and together we make up the temple or the place of residence for the living God. Not independent, not inactive, not isolated, not dead rocks, but living stones together in this. A dwelling place, a conduit, a place of contact. You know, in the Old Testament, they used to build an altar out of rocks, dead rocks, right? And they put it there. And in the Old Testament, that was their place of contact with God Almighty. But in today, after Jesus, we don't come as dead rocks. We come as living stones, and we are the altar. We are the place that God makes contact with. We don't come through a religious concept. We come through because we're alive to Him. A dwelling place, a conduit for the redemptive plans of God for humankind. The church was born to shake the world from the grip of darkness and evil. That's why we're here. We're here to make a difference, to bring light, to bring life, to bring hope. And to be this, and to do this, there must be an impartation from heaven. It's not possible to defeat darkness with human strength or willpower. There has to be a connection with heaven. We have to be empowered by an experience, by an encounter with a relationship with the Creator. The Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Our weapons are not carnal, they are spiritual. Therefore, we can't fight darkness with human weapons. We've got to have an empowering from the God Himself to speak or fight against the darkness. And understand this, we are the number one line of defense for our nation. Because first the spirit, then the natural. It's our job to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, to push back darkness from our land. It's not about a bad government or a good government. It's about the people of God defending their nation, their generation through spiritual power. And it comes not by trying harder. It comes by drawing closer. To grow strong as a Christian is not trying harder. It's about drawing closer. We need to be empowered by an experience, an encounter, a relationship with the Creator. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says this. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there was one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. One sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with tongues they did not know as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jesus actually said to his disciples, he said, wait, they're excited. They're ready to go out and change the world. He said, no, wait, come back, wait. Receive the power you need to do what you're called to do. He says, wait till you receive that power, the promise of the Holy Spirit. So his disciples gathered together and they waited like a fetus bent inside a mother's womb, awaiting the birth of this thing called the power of God. They waited for the promise. They waited for the Holy Spirit to arrive. And when it did, they knew they were changed. And when it did, others knew they were changed. Your power to make a difference not comes out of you trying to act like a Christian. The power you have is when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, then others will know something has changed in you. They will see the difference. Let it be like the fourth person in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the natural. But the king said, but there was a fourth person in the fire. We need to be seen with the fourth person in our lives. That it's not just us that people see. There's something a little different, a little powerful in our lives. It was the force of a real experience, one that changed them. It wasn't philosophy or rhetoric, but an encounter with the living God. Acts chapter 2, verse 33 describes it a bit like this. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of the Father and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Jesus was exalted to God and he received all the Father had given him in the promise of the Holy Spirit. Then he poured it out. As a matter of fact, Jesus said these words. He said, I must go, so he, the Holy Spirit, must come. And he poured that out in a place and a time like the world had never seen before. The wind blew, the fire fell, heaven was heard, all indicators of spiritual activity, an outpouring of the Spirit of God that had not been seen on planet Earth before. The beginning of not just the church, but an empowered church. And that same Holy Spirit is available to us today. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you and me. We've received something from God that empowers us not just to look like we're doing well, but to actually do well. Right throughout history, when people met with God, they knew they had changed and others knew it as well. Hell's forces have no respect for our attempts to take it on, but it will yield to those who have encountered the Spirit of God and received heaven's power. It will move, darkness will move to those that have been filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul made it clear that after we had been rescued from darkness, it was our responsibility to be a threat to it, to make a difference, because somebody else's life now counts on us outworking the plan of God for who we are. If we come to God with a desire for him, his purposes, he will gladly pour out his promises of the Holy Spirit upon us. And you will know, things will change. Something moves inside of you when you've not just know about the things of God, but you've encountered the things of God. And I get stuck here a little bit because I don't want people to think that it's all feeling-based. An encounter doesn't mean feelings. It means a difference. Yeah, great. It means a change. Yeah. Something's moved. Yeah. I've been a preacher long enough, or a believer long enough to know that I've seen the power of God in so many different ways. We've been praying for the sick and people have fallen to the ground under the power of God. But I've seen people tremble. I've seen them shake. I've seen the anointing all over them. But an encounter with God to me is not just that. It's when somebody's life gets changed, when they get a healing. They might feel nothing at all. You might receive the Holy Spirit and feel no lightning bolts or bells going off. But your life changes, something sparks. I didn't feel anything when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know what happened? My eyes opened to the world that I was living in. It wasn't a feeling, it was something that had dramatically changed in the moment because I encountered the Creator of the universe. An encounter with God. John 7, verse 37 through 39 says this, and on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of his heart. In other words, when you've met with God, if you've thirsted and you've asked him to come in and you've dwelt in his presence, then out of your heart, the rivers are going to flow. You're going to be a different person. God's plan for redemption always started in Jesus. We celebrated Easter, the death of a Savior, but the resurrection of the Son of God. But then it would move to the church, an empowered church. A promise that was given to us, not that we could just make it through, but we could have victory in every area of our lives. And the promise could only be done through Jesus leaving and the Holy Spirit coming. Because now, instead of one anointed Son of God, we could be millions of believers bringing heaven to earth right across the world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. I want you to know today that the furthest place from Jerusalem is New Zealand. So New Zealand is actually the end of the earth. Now, I don't say that in a belittling way. I think New Zealand's one of the greatest nations on the planet. I don't know of any greater sporting nation in the world than New Zealand. Percentage-wise, population-wise, what they can do, and the All Blacks make me sick year in and year out. So I don't belittle New Zealand at all. I think they're the most amazing people that I've ever seen or known. But they are the ends of the earth, and the good news out of that prophecy there that it's come to pass, that the gospel has gone from Jerusalem to Samaria to Judea and to the outermost parts. It made it to New Zealand through Australia. But you shall receive, embrace the Holy Spirit, and you'll receive power. To what? To be my witnesses. What does that mean? That means you shall receive power to be able to live like Him. You shall receive power to proclaim and share confidently the good news of Jesus Christ. You shall receive power to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to deliver the oppressed. You shall receive power. So today's message really is about, let's decide to be living stones, changed and empowered by a real encounter with the Spirit of God, fitted together as a dwelling place for the presence of God on earth, finding our spot. Not every stone's the same, but we can be shaped and challenged and put into place together that we may house the presence of God in a powerful way. Committed to bringing salvation, healing, and freedom to the generation that we live in. It's also the power of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to deal with the broken areas of our lives, the ones we can't fix, the ones we've tried. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that can bring us freedom in our own world. See, to be His witnesses means we are getting more healed, stronger, more like Him. And the power of the Holy Spirit is what enables us to see breakthrough in our own lives. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just a one-time event, though it starts with initial embracing, God, fill me. The believer that stays powerful is the one that continues being filled by the Holy Spirit. And the reason we need to be continually filled by the Holy Spirit is this: we leak. We leak. Our faith leaks. You can look down at your boots sometime, there's a big puddle right next to it, it's leaking. It's faith leak. Because life presses on us and squeezes faith out of us. Challenges, issues, the works of the enemy, they come against us. And therefore, we feel that pressure, and that squeezing can create faith leaks. So not only do we need to embrace the Holy Spirit once, but we need to be in a position of, God, fill me again. Place me in a place where I receive what I need to do. Some believers thinking that coming to church once a month's enough, or once every 2 months. Can I tell you, you're just not that good. You're not that good. You're not that good. Your faith will leak. The reason we come together is to put ourselves in a position to receive and be filled by the Holy Spirit again. We need to be under the Word of God, because it's by the Word of God that we are fed spiritually. Without the Word of God, we don't grow. We don't have nutrition to our soul. Therefore, we need to hear preaching. When I listen to preaching, I'm not listening to everything the preacher's saying. What I am waiting for is something that God wants to speak to me about. Because faith comes by hearing what God is saying to me. And as a person preaches, there is a word of God for every one of us. We've just got to find what that part is for us. We live not by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Our strength comes in not being just once embracing the Holy Spirit, but in a place of connecting with Him continually. When I walk in here and I open my mouth to worship God, it's not about how good I sing. It's, am I putting myself in position to receive what God has for me today? Am I glorifying Him and honoring Him that He's able to do something nutritious in my spirit and my soul? That when I walk out of these doors, I don't see my faith leaking all over the place because the enemy's against me, but I stand strong in the things of God. For greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You've got to continue in that place. You don't get strong because you go to the gym once. I've tried that. Didn't work. You don't stay strong as a Christian because you embrace the Holy Spirit once. You've got to be in a position to receive and be filled over and over again, because we leak. We leak. So being filled is not just a one-time event, though it starts with that. It's continual. We need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, drawing close into His presence, making sure we're understanding and hearing and reading the Word of God. You know why? I'll tell you this. Things that are full overflow or splash. Whatever you're full of, and some of you are full of it, whatever you are full of will splash over somebody else. If you're full of anger, you'll be angry at somebody. If you're full of joy, you'll have joy. What you're full of splashes. And the question therefore is, if we're not full of the Holy Spirit, maybe we're not splashing. And therefore, if we're not splashing, maybe we're not full. Maybe we're not full, and that's why we're not splashing under this dry. And I'm not saying being stupid. God's after fruit, not nuts. But He's after people that splash on, that spill over with love and kindness and prayer and help and joy and peace and long-suffering. The fruits of the Spirit is what, how we overflow on people. Every now and then you should stop and check the fruit of your spirit. If we're not splash. When Mitchell was growing up, my youngest, we used to go to a restaurant called Sizzlers. And what we loved about Sizzlers, the kids loved about it, was you could have as much ice cream as you want, because there was one, you know, the machine that you just put and it just kept coming. You and I, we just, as adults, we just get a little bowl and fill, you know. Mitchell, it wasn't full till it was this far above the top of the bowl. And then he would stick chocolate things in it and Smarties. And now he has to get it all the way back to the table. Who knows, he never got that back to the table in one piece. It always splashed on somebody. It always fell on somebody. He'd be, oh, what the heck? I always hear people go, what? And we of course, we'd deny it. We'd never seen that kid before. He's not ours. Get away from this table. Sorry, wrong table. But the reason you know you're full is you splash. If you're not splashing, then maybe we just gotta get full again. Come back in His place, connection with the Spirit of God. If you want more freedom, more wholeness, embrace and encounter the Holy Spirit. Know the Word that God has breathed on in His Bible, and it will bring life to your soul.